Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and I'm very, very excited. One of our better shows on Breakthrough Thinking, Dr. Sharon is in studio. This is the Divorce Show Part 1 from 2 to 3. It is Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. And, of course, from 3 to 4, great family law attorney, Joe Collins, will be in studio. So, Sharon, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I was commenting, I like your hair today.
Well, good. That means I didn't fix it.
It looks great. It's just sort of natural.
Yeah, the natural look.
How do you do that? I think it's really cool.
Wash and wear.
Wow, that's good. I've seen that, I think, on TV or haven't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, it's a little darker probably, so it looks different.
No, it looks a little lighter, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That must be the sun in San Diego.
Yeah, so tell us about that. You went away last week?
The weekend, just for 4 days. I hadn't been away really for the summer, been working hard all summer. And it was a great singles group for singles and divorcees with Adventures 2000.
I've heard of Ventures 2000. So what was it, a planned trip to San Diego?
A planned trip to San Diego. We went to Mission Beach, and there were 18 people in two condos, and we went kayaking in the ocean in La Jolla and saw the coves and saw the walrus inside the coves and the caves and the sea lions, and it was a perfect day. It was like 80 degrees, got sunburned. Spent another day on the beach, had a picnic. It was awesome.
Wow. So how many singles went?
18.
That's pretty good turnout.
Mm-hmm. It's excellent.
And is there like a leader, assigned leader to the whole group?
Yeah. Kim is the owner. She actually recently moved to San Diego, and I asked her if she wanted to be on our show sometime.
Yeah.
And now she's living in San Diego. She actually married a military member, and so they live over there now, and she's still running the club for the Phoenix group.
Wow. So she could call in if she wants.
Yeah, we could do that.
Wow. So she's running the show from San Diego. Nice place to run a show, though.
Absolutely.
How was the weather?
Well, the first day was really hot. It was like 103, and I thought I was in the wrong city. I've never been in San Diego when it was 103.
Yeah.
They've had a heat wave they hadn't had for like 113 years. And then the second and third day, it was more normal, like 80, 85. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's what I used to remember about San Diego, 80, 85.
Yeah.
Although you got to be careful because the cool breeze from the ocean, you can get sunburned much easier there because you don't think it's so hot. And next thing you know, you're like a lobster.
In fact, I was under an umbrella on Coronado Beach in the shade, and I still got sunburned. Because I was on the beach. You get reflection, and I was out in the water for a little while, and just a really good time. So I'm really glad to get away.
So what's it like to be in a singles group that they go away out of town? Is it, do you start meeting people, or you already know the people, or how's that work?
Well, there were like five or six people that I knew, and I met like, you know, eight or nine new people. There were a lot of guests there that they allowed to come, who I guess you can bring a guest, and then if they like it, they can join, that sort of thing.
Wow.
So there were just as many guests there as there were members.
Now, the big question is, did you do any karaoke?
You know, I tried. I tried to get the group to go karaoke-ing the last night we were there, but they were drinkers, and they went on a booze cruise.
What's a booze cruise? I never heard of
that. Well, it's like a big, giant ship that takes everybody on the second. It's three levels. On the top level, you can look out over the bay and see all the lights in the evening. It's a really pretty cruise on the bay. And the second floor is dancing and drinking. And I don't know what was in the down below,
because
I didn't go.
We don't want to know that.
Below.
Tom, do we want to know that? No. No, we. So the top floor is you look at the stars.
Look at the stars.
The middle floor is you dancing and drinking. And the bottom floor we don't want to know.
I never went there. I think the restrooms were down there.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you have to have restrooms.
So did you didn't go to the booze cruise?
No, I did go. I did go with the group, and I stayed for an hour and then got off because it was getting kind of chilly on the water. I didn't bring a jacket.
How do you get off when it's in the middle of the harbor?
Every hour it goes to from one dock to the next dock, so more people can get on, and those that want off can get off.
Wow.
And it just goes back and forth, and you can stay there all night if you want, and it was only like $10 to get on.
But you have to pay for your drinks.
Pay for your drinks.
I really don't drink, so I probably wouldn't have liked it, except on the top floor.
The top is like being on a cruise. Yeah, the top floor was like being on a cruise.
Wow.
Yeah.
See all the stars.
Stars and all the lights around San Diego.
How fun is that?
It was really fun.
Now, did you go to any great restaurants? I know they have Anthony's, and they have some very well-known restaurants. Great for seafood. Tell us about it.
We did go to the Crab Shack right on the beach, and the food was excellent, but because it was 100 degrees that day, I don't even know if they're air-conditioned right there on the beach. A lot of places aren't, and it was very humid, but the food was really good, and we had like 18 people there all together that first night.
Wow, how fun. And then you stay at a hotel?
No, it was a condo rental, like a two-story. It belonged to somebody, and they rented out, as a vacation home, like by the weekend or by the week.
18 people in one condo?
No, two.
Wow.
Yeah, we had 9 in each condo, and there were, 2 people to a room, mattresses on the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of like camping.
Camping in an expensive, exclusive condo that, probably.
But they had it wasn't co-ed,
Not, the rooms were not co-ed,
yeah.
No.
Okay, count me out. Okay, so, what, Tommy, you're shaking your head. Oh, he pushes the button on that one. Wow, how fun. Well, that's a good trip, and you're glad you're back.
I'm glad I'm back.
4 days, huh?
Yeah.
So you left Thursday?
Left Thursday.
What do you do? Do you drive?
No, early Friday morning.
You drove?
Yeah, next time I'm going to fly, though, because by the time we paid for gas, we could have both flown.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of people flew?
No, most people drove. They drove in big caravans. But anyway, it's a good thing for people who are divorced might want to look into the Adventures 2000. It's a great club for you. It's not a dating club. They plan adventures, and you just show up.
Wow, and then have fun. They have sporting events, right? Volleyball.
Yep, they have volleyball. They have karaoke. They go out to dinner a lot. They have wine tastings.
Oh.
They're planning a cruise to Europe.
Really?
And they just came back from a cruise to Alaska.
Wow.
Yep, for those that can afford to go there. And then they do a lot of these weekend trips. They did one to San Francisco. They did this one to San Diego. Weekend trips to the Grand Canyon, to Flagstaff, and go skiing and things like that.
The cruise to Alaska.
Yep, they just came back. I didn't actually hear about it, but...
You know how many people attended?
I think it was about 18, 20.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I went on a cruise last year to Alaska.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I would love to go to Alaska.
It was good. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I went river rafting.
Wow. You're adventurous, too.
Yeah. I fell out 3 times. But other than that, no, I'm kidding, but I held on for dear life. But it was good. It was a raging river.
Wow. I have never been, river rafting other than tubing down the Salt River, but not...
I haven't tried that.
Really?
Is that difficult?
Well, it can be dangerous if you tie your tubes together, like we did on one of our trips.
Now it sounds like a medical show.
Maybe we better get to our topic, but...
Okay, Tom likes that. Really, Tom, come on, chime in here. Put the mic on. I want to see if he thought that was interesting. So, Tommy?
Yes.
How was that one?
But which one? There were 2 of them.
I'm not going to say it again. Oh, the Salt River.
The Salt River? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
So how are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Well, good.
Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So, Dr. Sharon, topic today is, a continuation from last month, I believe.
Right. Last month we talked about infidelity and affairs and why they happen. And I noticed it was a very popular show. A lot of people listened to it on the radio show website after the fact. And so I thought we would continue to talk about some of the some additional issues that then we talked about last month. And some of the information that we discussed last month and today comes from a book, a very good book called Surviving Infidelity by Rona Sobotnick and Dr. Gloria Harris, a psychologist and a therapist, and some of their experiences with marriage counseling. And last month we talked about some of the reasons why affairs happen. These included unfulfilled expectations, the need for attention, poor communication. And today we're going to talk about some other factors, including boredom in a relationship. I think that's a real important one, because when people are married for a long time, sometimes boredom sets in. It's hard to keep, you know, the flame going. And I tell my clients, it's like a relationship is like tending a garden. You have to keep hoeing it, watering it. You know, you have to fertilize it for it to grow. And if you don't do that, it tends to get stale. And one partner may become bored in the relationship. And by bored, I mean one person may be growing and changing. Maybe they've discovered they love music in their life, and the other partner just wants to stay home and play on the computer, watch TV. And, you know, the wife wants to go singing all the time, whether in a choir or in a group that they're practicing with at the church. And so they just start to grow in different directions.
So are you saying that boredom equates to having different interests, or is boredom more that someone is boring or they're bored with their partner?
It doesn't mean the partner is boring. I mean, obviously, they weren't boring when you married them, but maybe they're bored that the partner isn't changing along with them.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's how you would define it.
Yeah.
And then boredom, when you're in a bored state of mind, I would put that as a state of mind. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, some people just have, I mean, they come in to counseling because they're bored with their life. I mean, they may have a great job, a great income, but they're never satisfied. And there are just those people out there, too, that always need constant change and stimulation and growth. I know that when I used to work at the Veterans Administration, I asked them to change my job every 6 months, because by the time 6 months had rolled around, I wanted a new challenge.
Wow.
So they sent me to a new clinic every 6 months.
That is so cool. I'm sort of like that, too. It's like,
gotta have something different.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. You know, after a while, it's like, why master the same thing? You already mastered it, right?
Right, right.
Interesting. So that's how you define boredom. So basically, that can create, well, let's ask this, the underlying issue. Can boredom then create the lack of communication? So it's not maybe a direct impact to infidelity or an affair, but maybe it starts to tear down the communication.
Right. Definitely. And when one person's off doing a hobby or something they love to do and the other one isn't, I mean, the other person really doesn't understand, why are you spending all this time out singing or with playing your musical instrument? You know, why is that important? You should be home with me. So
yeah.
Both of them kind of have some resentments that the other one isn't doing what they want to do.
That reminds me of a movie. I always say that, right? I always bring up movies.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite movies, by the way, actually, let's take a break. We'll have everyone in suspense when we come back. My favorite movie that I think relates to what you just said about boredom and why one partner says, why aren't you spending time with me? Maybe that's a hint to this particular movie. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. The topic today is why affairs happen. We're in studio with Dr. Sharon, great psychologist. We'll be right back.
Birum Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
I want to invite you to come to the Suwalk for Autism Research. It is on Saturday, October 6th in the morning. Please come to the zoo and help raise money for autism treatments. I like the Suwalk because I like to walk around with my family and see animals. It is a lot of fun.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is a third Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it's Dr. Sharon on the Divorce Show. And then 3 to 4, Joe Collins, family law attorney, coming in about 45 minutes. Now, we were talking about the topic, Dr. Sharon, today, which is why affairs happen. A lot of people want to know that, and it's very painful. However, it's good to understand. But the movie that this reminded me of when you said a couple things just before the break. I'll give you a hint. 1995. Well, that's not a good
not
hint.
Not much of
Tom,
a hint.
Tom, you can participate,
Dave,
in this too. All right, this will give it away. Billy Crystal was in the movie. He wrote it, directed it, in it. I think Tom's going to get it. First one wins the trip.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, my God. Billy Crystal was not in Sleepless in Seattle. That was Tom Hanks.
I know.
You were just
pulling
kidding.
Your leg.
Oh, he was kidding.
Is it the one about Arizona and the Dude Ranch or something?
No, that might have been Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know the Dude Ranch thing. But Deborah Winger was in it. Now we're getting closer. Oh, maybe not. Okay, Forget Paris.
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, that's a great movie. You guys have to see it. But they did talk about, in the movie, about how you get married sometimes, and this movie, I won't give the movie away, but Billy was a professional NBA referee, so he traveled a lot.
Okay.
And Deborah Winger was his wife, and she knew he was a referee before getting married, but, as a referee, you're traveling all the time during the season. I mean, you're everywhere except at home. So at some point, she says, quit your job, because I want you to stay with me. And you mentioned, people get bored and you use it in context like one of the
hobbies.
Singing, and why not stay with me at home? So that was part of the issue. So I thought I would bring that up because is that very common with affairs, is that if someone's out a lot, either working or doing their hobby, and the other spouse, man or wife, doesn't matter, doesn't participate in that. That's never justification for an affair, though.
Well, no, it's not. It's not justification. It just leads to temptation, though. I mean, this is just something you have to be aware of,
Wow.
And, people have to work on building up their marriage. I was at a conference the other day for continuing education, and I think I'm going to have these ladies on the show in a couple of months. They were talking about attraction and love and the different parts of the brain that are involved in these things. And one of the things they said during their talk was that the average couple comes in for marriage counseling 6 years too late.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they psychologists? Or
one was a psychologist.
6 years too late. That's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a guess at this, is that if it's 6 years too late, then it's already hit rock bottom or below.
Right, exactly.
And then they're just scrambling around.
Exactly.
Is it the person that, I don't like to use the word victim, but the victim more requesting marriage counseling?
Well, usually the wife comes in first, and it's harder to get husbands in. And I have several clients right now where the wife has just come in by themselves.
Oh.
And they're trying, and they get counseling just for them. They're trying to decide, am I going to stay in this marriage or am not, because he won't come in.
Wow.
And that's pretty common, actually.
I think that's a shame, because part of the therapy would be opening up communication.
Yeah, you got to open up communication for both of them. And if he's not willing to communicate, you know, that's a large part of the problem right there.
Now, a very well-known, I won't give their name out, but years ago, there was some well-known psychologist on the radio.
Yes.
And I won't mention, there was a pioneer in this. I won't mention the name, but it was a female psychologist long ago. I mean, one of the first. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, 20, 30 years ago, maybe?
Oh, that long ago.
Or 20 years ago. All right, let's say a day ago, so I look younger. Okay, but it was a while back, and this was in L.A. The guy... the wife calls in and said, my husband had an affair. And you know what her answer was? She goes, have an affair just to teach him. That didn't make sense to me.
That does not make sense.
It just, and I thought from a very well-known psychologist, for her to say that, it's like, you know, I'm not trained as a psychologist, but something doesn't add up there.
But, you know, that same concept is actually in this book that I was reading about. Just went dead.
Uh-oh, your earphone?
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Do you hear you?
Now I hear me.
Oh, we hear you.
I hit the volume. Sorry.
Oh.
But, no, it's in this book that sometimes someone has an affair just to get their spouse's attention.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the book?
It may be more of a subconscious thing, but they're not happy with things. And so they're acting out, kind of like an adolescent acts out.
Like negative attention is better than no attention.
Negative attention is better than no attention at all.
So what do they do, admit it too? They go, I just had an affair because you're not paying enough attention to
me. They'll wait until they're confronted. No, nobody just openly admits it unless they're just dying with guilt.
Wow.
And but it does say that, you know, people have affairs to get their spouse's attention, and it doesn't mean that they want the marriage to be over. They just want something to be fixed, and they don't know how to communicate that.
Wow, that sounds like a dangerous way.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
It is.
So those are a couple reasons why people have affairs, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of others.
Yeah, some other reasons, and I hear this quite frequently, is one party of the couple doesn't have any sexual desire, and it's usually the wife.
Oh.
And usually that comes from lack of communication. I mean, if they're not feeling emotionally connected to their partner, they're not going to want to have sex. But sometimes there's thyroid problems, hormone issues, depression, and overall stress that wives have in taking care of the children, keeping the house, and some of them are also working. And by the time they get home at night, it's like that's the last thing on their mind because they've been so busy all day.
So what do you recommend? I hear that a lot, lack of sexual desire. In this case, you talked, you know, maybe on the women's part. How do you handle that as a psychologist? Because a lot of listeners right now might relate to that, you know, being a very stressful world, you know, women seem to multitask much better than men, and they got all these things going on, so they're tired, and that can impact
their sexual desire, I suspect.
Right.
So how do you handle that if the people come in?
Well, if I've got the couple coming in, I have them face each other, face-to-face, kind of in the office, and actually start communicating to each other. A lot of people go to therapy and want to talk to the therapist. And this face-to-face, it kind of puts them on the hot seat. I said, you know, don't tell me, tell your spouse what you're not happy with and get them communicating with each other. And I also use the book, The Five Love Languages, and we find out what their love languages are. So if the wife wants acts of service, you know, she wants help around the house, maybe to clean up after dinner, help with the laundry or something, and he wants more touch and time in the bedroom, then we work towards those goals so they each get their needs met.
How do you do that, though, if let's say one is just naturally stressed? And, of course, somewhat controllable, by the way, I believe. I always say stress and control are inversely proportionate, meaning you can learn to reinterpret things. You can go from negative thinking to positive thinking. And there's other, I know, NLP techniques. But what if someone's just naturally stressed and thus is tired, because stress can tire you out? How do you cope with the stress issue or the lack of intimacy issue first?
Well, most lack of intimacy problems, I think, are communication based, and you know, they're not emotionally connected to their partner. Now, if you know the wife comes in and I can tell that she looks clinically depressed, then I might see her individually for a session or two, ask her to go to her doctor, have her thyroid checked, you know, hormones, depending on her age, because those things can all affect your sex drive as well.
Yeah, and so that might be one of the issues. It might be solvable pretty easily.
Yes, yes. I've sent a few wives to a GYN doctor, you know, referred them to someone, and they've become like a new person, gotten on hormones, they're not depressed anymore, they want to do more, you know, they get their sex drive back, and then sometimes they need antidepressants, so you have to refer them for that.
Now, what degree, I'm going to throw this question out, then we'll take a break. In fact, maybe I'll throw the question out, and then we'll take the break and wait for your answer.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, you hear people talk about, well, when marriage was invented, you know, the lifespan was like 6 years. So you get married, you know, the honeymoon, then you die. I mean, you know, it was a shorter lifespan. I'm sort of exaggerating a little bit. However, with a longer lifespan, is marriage in itself part of the problem? Is it obsolete? When we come back from our break, we're going to hear that answer from Dr. Sharon live here on KXXT 1010 AM. This is the Divorce Show, Breakthrough Thinking. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Divorce Show every third Monday from 2 to 3 with Dr. Sharon, a great psychologist, and of course 3 to 4 family law attorney Joe Collins coming in about a half hour. We're talking about the topic today, why affairs happen. This is so prevalent, unfortunately, and it's very painful. And we left off by asking the question, so Dr. Sharon can contemplate this during the break. Is marriage obsolete? Is marriage the problem that people seem to get bored so quickly and they want to pretend they're single again and have, they just like their freedom and they like newness. That's a way to put it, newness.
Well, if you want your freedom and you want newness, then don't get married.
I agree.
I mean, you know, there are people that stay single all their lives. There's confirmed bachelors and, you know, there's, you know, sometimes professional women that never get married also and lots of other cases. I mean, if they don't want children and they, you know, if you want to have your freedom, I'd say don't get married. I know when I was in graduate school many years ago, we learned about in social psychology about contract marriages. And, you know, back in college, I might have thought that was a good idea. But as I've, you know, gotten older and I've counseled as many people as I have over the last 25 years, I think marriage is not obsolete. It's necessary for raising a family, to have that commitment to each other. And I think that all marriages can be enriched if the people pay attention, but that's the problem. The people that are married don't pay attention to each other, and so they come in and see me or you know another psychologist or therapist, so somebody will pay attention to them.
Well, that makes sense, and I agree with you. I don't think marriage is obsolete. I think everyone can change their state of mind, have a mindset that creates the type of marriage that they want and really develop it beyond the society standards, you know, really develop a great, solid, great friendship with excitement kicked in.
Mm-hmm. And I think one, you know, common complaint that a lot of therapists hear from women is that they want their spouses to show them more affection, more attention, not just at night when, you know, they want to have sex, but they want to, you know, a hug in the morning or a kiss goodbye or, you know, a pat on the back, some kind of affection during the day or a phone call during the day, you know, like, how's your day going? And husbands have a harder time understanding this, but this really, it's all part of foreplay. If she doesn't feel connected to you, either on the phone or by, you know, a pat on the back or peck on the cheek, and you haven't kept in touch all day, and you come home, you know, she cooks dinner, one of you cleans the kitchen, and, you know, you want to have sex, and she feels neglected all day, hey, it's just not going to happen.
So is that how you advise your male clients? Like, wait, it's there's something, it's almost like a ceremony. It's not really, like, on demand.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I saw that.
Right.
TV, like DirecTV,
on
demand.
It's not on demand. That's right.
I don't know where to take it from here. Tommy, help. Well, Tommy's just looking at me like, yeah, you won't be on tomorrow. Okay, so.
there are significant differences between men and women in this regard. I mean, men don't. I mean, there are some men that are teddy bears like you, Dave. And
I am a teddy bear.
And Joe Collins, who
Joe's great, isn't
the
he?
First attorney I've ever met that was a teddy bear. I actually hugged him after lunch.
Yeah, we had a good lunch.
Really
right?
Cool.
Yeah.
And but, you know, a lot of men don't need to have hugs and a lot of affection during the day. And men and women differ in this way. Most women want to be held. They want to be cuddled. They want you to hold their hand. And unless they grew up in a home where they didn't have any of that. And they want those things not just when you have sex. They want it, you know, before, during, and after. I mean, they want that at a lot of other times. And it's hard to get husbands to understand that. I mean, they're busy at the office. They're focused in their world of making money and providing, and they think that's enough. They think that's the way they show their love. And women would rather have less money and more hugs.
Well, that's great advice. But how do you get husbands, the guys, to understand that? I mean, you said they don't understand that, but when you have gotten through to guys, how did you get through to them? Is it like the fear of, hey, your wife's going to leave you, or is it the hope or pleasure that it's going to be a better relationship? Because there's two ways to motivate, right?
Right.
The carrot and the stick, fear or pleasure.
And usually the fear of the wife leaving them is what often motivates them to come to therapy. And yes, you know, you get them in there, and then if the husband's motivated and he wants to keep his wife, he'll do all my homework assignments. And they're going to have a successfully, you know, healed relationship if both parties are participating.
But fear by itself, it might ignite them to say, uh-oh, now I'm afraid, rock bottom, I better do something, motivation. But as the flame sort of becomes less, you know, the fear becomes lessened that maybe it's a little bit better relationship, then that motivation goes too. So how is it sustainable after the fear goes? And is it sustainable? Is the husband usually, you know, engaged enough to continue changing his behavior?
Well, I think that's a good question, and that's why I, you know, don't let people out of marriage counseling just because things are better. You know, we'll go every other week and then maybe once a month and see if they're maintaining the behavior rather than, you know, you do your weekly session, things are better, and you say goodbye. You know, you just have fewer sessions and be sure they're maintaining it.
How about wellness counseling? I think that would be good, too.
Yeah, wellness counseling is wonderful.
That would seem to be a good trick, sort of like preventive medicine.
Right. Marriage enrichment, you know, seminars.
Oh, that would be good.
And some of my clients do those things like through their church and maybe have done them before they come in. I get a lot of calls for Christian counseling because there's very few Christian psychologists in town.
Remember a thing called Marriage Encounter?
Mm-hmm.
That was really popular. Is that still going on?
Well, I'm sure it's going on in one form or another.
But it was really big at the churches, too. I think that's where it started, Marriage Encounter. So you'd like stay, I think you'd go like weekend.
For a retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are still happening.
Yeah.
Still happening at my church. Yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So those are always good, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. Very cool.
And, you know, I tell people to go on their date nights or take a weekend and leave the kids at home and all of those sorts of things for healing a relationship.
Nice. So we have, we're talking about lack of sexual desire is one possible reason people may have an affair.
Right.
And you gave some solutions to that, reasons how to counteract that. What are some others? Do you have some others why people?
Well, there's the unavailable spouse. We touched on that a little bit, but you know, sometimes the spouse is emotionally disconnected, and in my experience, it's more often the male. and physically unavailable. And sometimes, because of the economy, even marriage partners are separated. They're living in separate cities. I've seen that. And you wonder what kind of marriage, you know, somebody can have living in separate cities. So you're emotionally disconnected and physically disconnected, and maybe they're seeing each other, you know, one or two weekends a month. And also geographic distance, such as one partner's in the military service, that can be a real problem. And, you know, I've worked with the military for 3 years, and I saw a lot of couples break up because one was in the military.
And let me ask you about that, because that was really bothersome to me, where you see it in movies or you hear about it in real life, is, you know, let's say the guy goes away in the military, and who usually, I mean, is it usually the wife or the guy that's in a different country being unfaithful?
It used to be, based on what I've read and lately, it used to be the spouse that was left at home that would be the most likely to have an affair while the husband was overseas serving his country. And now that's switched a little bit. And I worked for family advocacy, and which was basically saw the domestic violence, the worst of the worst of the domestic violence in the military in San Diego. Service members that threatened their wives with guns and knives. So, it's a very bad problem in the military because of the stress in the military and the separations, and then you have them, you know, coming back and forth. But they're separated for long periods of time. It puts a significant stress on a relationship, and as a result, you know, wives that are left at home for, you know, 6 months at a time, you know, they do stray. They have to find something to do. They get bored. They don't have a partner. And then he comes home and finds out and, you know, is really upset. And that either leads them to go to counseling or, you know, sometimes something, you know, dramatic happens. But more recently, it's also with more and more women in the military, there are more and more affairs going on overseas between servicemen that are stationed together with women, because they're put in very stressful situations and they bond to each other. They're, you know, protecting each other's lives, and they turn to each other for support. Maybe, you know, they get a day off and they go out for beers, and, you know, they become friends, and one thing leads to another.
That makes sense. I didn't realize it that way.
Yep. They bond through kind of the trauma bond, through the trauma of being in the service together.
It's like taking an acting class.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, people bond if they play certain parts. And I think that's that'd be an interesting study, too.
Yep.
But that totally makes sense. And is it a high percentage in the military?
Well, I don't know what the percentage is, but from what I've read, it's just that's becoming increasingly common. It's not just the wives that are left at home having the affairs, which it used to be.
Wow.
You know, in the last 10 years, as more and more women have gotten in the military, affairs are happening. Even though there's not supposed to be any sex happening on a battleship, you know, it does happen.
Oh, that's illegal?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. If men and women are stationed on a battleship, and they're serving together, there's not allowed to be any sex between males and females on any ships.
On any ship, submarines and everything.
Nope. If they're on liberty and they're off the ship, then they can go do what they want to do, but not on the ship.
Even after they see the Army film of what not to do? Okay, they still do that. Okay. Well, anyway, that's interesting. So let's take another quick break. We'll do our last segment. And the topic today, of course, is why affairs happen and some solutions to this. And, of course, counseling is always a good bet. Mm-hmm. The question we'll ask before the break, and we'll see Dr. Sharon's answer after the break, is how about homemakers? I mean, they're at home alone. Does that make a difference when if they get lonely? We'll find out right after this break.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcies seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
I want to invite you to come to the Suwak for Autism Research. It is on Saturday, October 6th in the morning. Please come to the zoo and help raise money for autism treatments. I like the zoo walk because I like to walk around with my family and see animals. It is a lot of fun.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the third Monday of Tuesday, I should say, of the month. From 2 to 3, it is the Divorce Show starring Sharon, Dr. Sharon, Sharon Van Lentz. And, of course, from 3 to 4, in about 10 minutes, we have family law attorney Joe Collins talking about the legal aspects. Now, we ended up with a question about homemakers. We talked about military people, like, let's say, wives at home, and often they'll have an affair if they're husband is in another country, you know, for extended period of time. But how about homemakers? And whether it's men or women, but, you know, it doesn't matter. But is there any news on that? Is that something
I think that's a less likely group that's going to be having affairs, especially if they're staying home taking care of kids. They're going to be too busy taking care of kids and maintaining the house, for one thing. And I think whoever's in the work field, in the workforce, is more likely to have affairs because they're meeting other people at work.
More opportunities.
They're going out for maybe happy hour afterwards. They're bonding with people at the office. You know, you're upset about the same supervisor. You know, don't like your evaluation or whatever. You've got more opportunities in the workforce than you do sitting at home, especially if there's kids at home. You're tending to them.
Yeah. I think you're right about the opportunities in the workforce. Now, the big question that everyone wants to know is how to find out if your spouse is unfaithful. I mean, are there clues that people leave? How do you know? And once you do know, what do you do next?
And that's an excellent question, Dave. Well, the people that have, you know, I've seen in counseling how they find out. I mean, sometimes it's from paying bills, paying credit card bills, and they find charges for gifts or phone calls or maybe even, you know, phone calls to another time zone, an unexplained increase in gasoline charges, or someone's going out of town and they think that's unusual. But it has to be a pattern. I mean, one or two things you're not going to notice, but certainly, you know, if it's a hotel receipt or something and you don't know where they were.
That guy or that girl deserves to get caught.
Then. That's pretty obvious, yeah. You should pay with cash, but...
Wait, this is not... we're not offering solutions
No. Whoops. Yeah. Anyway...
cash is a good idea.
That's how spouses, you know, find out. And so one of them is charges on credit cards. Another is phone calls. I mean, a spouse starts noticing that the other spouse is taking phone calls in private or is hiding their phone or locking their phone and, you know, keeping it out of view, their cell phone, so that they can't see it. And if somebody's, you know, obviously hiding something like that, then they have something to hide.
Oh, like text messages.
Yeah, and text messages.
Or you start putting, like, major security on your internet.
Your email.
And yeah. That would be a hint, right?
Yeah, I think the majority of people that I've seen usually find out by email or their spouse's phone.
So what behaviors can you tell? If someone's really good at fabricating the truth, is there anything you can tell someone's behavior? Maybe they're a little more distant. Maybe they're a little more grumpy. Maybe anything like that you can tell that they're feeling guilty, perhaps, and they're creating a little distance to justify their anger?
I think they would be more distant. And yet, if they're feeling guilty, they may also be bending over backwards to do things for you.
So the opposite could be true, too.
Could be either way.
Makes it hard.
I think it totally depends on the person's personality.
Interesting.
And, you know, I know of cases where, you know, a spouse confesses even before they're confronted because they just feel so guilty. And they think that they're going to be just forgiven and everything's going to be fine. And sometimes they're asked to move out of the house and it backfires on them.
Oh.
So
that's so devastating. Now, what about the spouse that just is naturally distrustful? I mean, not believing anything. And the other spouse is perfectly innocent, but some spouses just don't believe.
Believe you.
They don't believe, or they're just so insecure.
Insecure.
Tell us about that, because that could be very harmful, too.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, we know have personality issues or psychological issues that were probably noticeable before you got married, but maybe they got worse after you got married. And there's certainly some people that have more of a almost, you know, lower self-esteem, almost they're jealous if you talk to, you know, another woman and that sort of thing. And, you know, that's a self-esteem, that's a counseling issue too.
So jealousy you might equate to low self-esteem?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, some people are just more wired for jealousy than others. But basically, I think it does usually come down to low self-esteem. And there's things that you can do to help change that.
So let's see, Tom, how much time we have left here? We have about 5 minutes. Now, the question that a lot of people are wondering right now. We've answered probably many questions. Mm-hmm. But this one is, once you find out your spouse had an affair, what do you do about it? How do you confront them? And what's the odds of it working out?
What's the odds that they'll admit it?
Not admit it, but they already admitted it. Mm-hmm. You got the hurt feelings, the trust breach. But how should the spouse that didn't have the affair confront the person? I mean, what do they do next? And should they just and what's the odds, the percentages, to heal this and stay in the marriage? Or most marriages, and maybe you know the stats, that one spouse had the affair, are there higher odds that the marriage splits up?
Well, I think that used to be true. I don't think it's true anymore. And I mean, especially if there's children involved, I think they're more likely to try to work it out, if the party that that strayed and had the affair is willing to end the affair. And so how do you confront a spouse for having an affair? I think you have to, you know, look at a pattern, and if they keep denying it, you know, find out if they're willing to go to counseling. And sometimes it's easier to confront them with a third party present, you know, to come in and actually do it in the office with a therapist or psychologist. And I've seen a lot of couples that have had affairs, and 90% of them I've been able to put, you know, back together.
Oh, that's good news then.
Yeah, yeah, I have a real good success rate with couples.
So is it harder for the injured spouse to forgive versus the one that had the affair to relieve themselves of their guilt? Or is it just a process for both of them?
It's a long-term process for both of them. I mean, you know, it may take, you know, 6 months to a year for, you know, say if the husband strayed, for the wife to build up her trust again. You know, she's always going to be a little suspicious after that. And I think it's understandable if she asks for more phone calls and things like that for you to check in and, you know, say where you are and what you're doing and that sort of thing. And depending on, you know, what each party's comfortable with, if they want to stay in the marriage, I mean, I think that's a reasonable request.
Yeah, I think so too. And that maybe that's the answer, is a desire to keep the marriage going. And if, of course, if you don't have that desire, then it's not going to work out.
Right, and usually if you don't have that desire, they don't even show up. I've heard of cases where when partners had an affair and the wife found out about it and the husband just, you know, turned around and moved out of the house and left the wife with the kids, and then she comes in and doesn't know what to do.
Wow.
So those are the tough ones where somebody's already moved out. Then I think that's much harder to put back together because somebody's already made their decision.
As a woman, I'm not saying you, but let's say some woman had an affair with a married guy, and the guy then wants to leave his existing wife and marry you, or the other woman who he's having an affair with, that other woman, wouldn't she always think that, hey, if he cheated on his first wife, wouldn't he cheat on me? Is that something you see?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if they're in love, love is blind, and so it doesn't make any sense, but absolutely.
I would think so,
I think any rational person would think that way.
Yeah. That's terrible, though.
He's not a good catch, you know.
Yeah, not at all. Throw this person back.
Throw the fish back in the sea.
Yeah, but not in San Diego. We want San Diego clean, right?
Right.
But it's very devastating, and let's give out your number because you know all about this, and you can help people. So how do they get in touch with you?
602-334-3776, 602-334-3776. You can also send me an email to drsharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, the number 1, at hotmail.com.
Wow, this is great. I think this is a big topic. And let's hope that we can minimize these things through better mental health, I would say, emotional health. And, you know, and we're all role models for each other, so let's do the right thing. And it is the right thing to be trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And that's what the show is about, is to heal and really become your greatest self. And Dr. Sharon, thank you so much. Another great episode of The Divorce Show.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Oh, absolutely. And again, Dr. Sharon's number is 602-334-3776, 602-334-3776. Stay tuned for family law attorney Joe Collins, who is just the legal expert. We'll be right back.
FamilyValuesRadio.net. 1010 KXXT.
Colson, Phoenix.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing Service Master Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know Service Master Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's Service Master Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for Service Master Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.